Thank you, Brady. If you've marked your songbooks, if you would please turn in your Bibles to the text that Sherman read for us a few moments ago in 2 Kings chapter 22. We're going to begin in verse 18 and look at verse 20 that he read to us a few moments ago. I want to take just a moment to set the context of this passage. You will remember that in the history of Israel and Judah, after Israel had already been taken away captive during the Assyrian captivity, Judah continued for a time, but eventually they came to a point at which, believe it or not, they had actually lost the book of the law of God. And we learn from the account pertaining to Josiah that when the book of the law was discovered and read to him, that he tore his clothes and he was humbled by the fact that he and his people, his fathers, had not obeyed what the law had taught. And in the context of the reading that we are going to look at, he had sent to the prophetess Huldah to inquire about what the Lord's judgment was concerning their rebellion. And I want us to focus on what is said specifically about him in these few verses, 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 18 through 20. But as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord in this manner, you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely, therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place. So they brought back word to the king. In our adult class this morning, we're going to spend some time looking at an account pertaining to one of Josiah's sons, and an attitude and some actions that he had that were nowhere near as honorable as we read here about Josiah. But I call to your attention in particular the fact that in this reading it describes that Josiah's heart was tender. And for a few moments this morning, I'd like for us to think a little bit about what Scripture teaches us about that principle of maintaining and keeping a tender heart. The Bible teaches us some things that will come from and flow from a tender heart. For example, a tender heart is going to be the kind of heart that will forgive offenses that are committed against us. Over in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 31, the Apostle Paul teaches this: let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, notice, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. You know, the hardened heart will not be willing to forgive an offense, but the tender heart will forgive, recognizing God's forgiveness that we have received. In the book of Colossians, in Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, we are commanded, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on, notice, tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, once again, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. You know, we must recognize that if, in fact, we hope to receive mercy from the Lord, we can't maintain a heart that is unwilling to forgive others and is so hardened that we'll hold a grudge and we can't let it go. The tender heart will forgive. But the tender heart is also the kind of heart that will help other people. Back in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 7 through 8, the Israelites were given this command: if there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not, notice, harden your hearts, nor shut your hand from your poor brother, But you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. You know, it is the hardened heart that is unwilling to forgive, but it is also the hardened heart that can somehow look at a brother or sister or a fellow human being in need and shut up one's heart to that need. I recognize we may be limited by opportunities and abilities that we have, but the Bible teaches that we must maintain that kind of heart. In fact, go with me to 1 John. And let's turn in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. And I ask you to read with me beginning in verse 16, and we'll go down to verse 18. We can see from this passage that we're going to look at that when in fact we are willing to help others, we are really demonstrating the love that God has shown towards us. Just as we noticed about forgiveness, we expect and hope for the forgiveness of God, we must be willing to show it to others. Notice here, if we expect the help of God, if we expect the love of God, we must be willing to show it to others. 1 John chapter 3, beginning verse 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You know, we live in an age in which there are an awful lot of people that seek to take advantage of the generosity of some. Many of us have probably seen those who, and we've seen stories on the news about those that will have signs that will declare they're in need and ask for help. And it may be that they're not willing to work, or they actually, from their taking advantage of others, accumulate a great source of income and are just unwilling to work. If we are not careful, the fact that we see that in those around us can actually have a negative effect on us, to the point that it can bring us to have a heart that is so hard that we look at those who have legitimate needs and we are unwilling to help them. The tender heart will be that kind of heart that does not, as the text puts it here, shut up our heart to the one that we see in need, but we are willing to act and we are willing to help them. I want us to notice, though, from the account that we looked at, there's a parallel account to that that is offered over in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 27. It says virtually the same thing about Josiah, but notice what it says: because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and against its inhabitants, and you once again humbled yourself before me, and you tore your clothes and went before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. The tender heart is one also that is humble. Think about that. This is something that's a little bit foreign to our culture. I don't know when I've ever seen someone, as a result of sorrow or because they recognize the condition that their life has brought them to, actually tear their clothes. That would be a very humbling kind of thing. You know, it may be that we'll see someone that maybe they bend down and their pants rip, or they catch on a doorknob or something and part of their clothes rip. And that may be embarrassing, but we don't see it quite in the same way. It would be a humbling thing to say, I don't care about my appearance. I don't care about how I look before people. I've done wrong. I am humbling myself. The tender heart is one that is humble. Over in the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 57, and in verse 15, I want us to notice what we read. For thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him. Notice, God here is saying who he will dwell with. I dwell with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to receive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Think with me about that for a moment. Not only is it the tender heart that will look at the needs of others and not shut up one's heart to such need, it will be tender, it will be humble. In fact, it will be one that will seek to revive their spirit, to consider their condition, and to help raise them out of it. Whether you're talking about humble because of material needs that they have, or perhaps even more importantly, humble because of spiritual needs they have in their poverty and in their sin. But notice, to revive the hearts of the contrite ones. It is the tender heart that will recognize in humility we have sinned against God, and will not arrogantly in pride say, "You can't tell me what to do. Yes, maybe I've done something wrong, but you've done something wrong too." That's not the tender heart that God here describes Himself as dwelling with. We are probably familiar with what the Scripture tells us. Look over with me, if you would, in Psalm 51. Psalm 51. And I'd like us to notice in Psalm 51, verse 17, this declaration that echoes in many ways the passage that we just looked at. Psalm 51, and let's look together at verse 17. What sacrifices is it that God seeks from His people? I recognize that under the law of Moses, there were animal sacrifices, there were other types of offerings that were commanded. But I want you to notice here in Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, You will not despise. Over in 1 Peter, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'd like us to notice Peter's words through the Holy Spirit about this attitude of humility. It is something that should not just characterize those that are especially mature in the faith. It is not something that should just characterize those that have been in Christ for a long time. Instead, it is something that should characterize all who are in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 5, says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another," listen to this, "and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." I call to your attention there in verse 5, the declaration that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I don't know about you, my friend, but I am one that desperately needs the grace of God. I am one that far too often does those things that I ought not to do, or says those things that I ought not to do. And it is only by the grace of God that I have any hope of salvation. I think we must learn from this lesson here and the wording here that if we seek that grace, we hope for that grace, it does not rest in a proud spirit. It does not rest in a heart that's unwilling to be moved by the consequences of our own misdoing, but rather a tender heart that is humble. But a tender heart is also a heart that will listen. I want us to think about this for a little bit. In Exodus chapter 8 and verse 19, the Israelites, when in fact the Lord had called them to come out of Egypt and Pharaoh was commanded to let the people go, we remember that God knew long before any of the deeds transpired in the Exodus that Pharaoh would not heed His word, that he would in fact harden his heart. And in Exodus chapter 8, verse 19, there is an interesting account that is given there where some of His own people recognize that God, the true God, was involved in the deeds that were going on. The text says, "Then the magician said to Pharaoh, 'This is the finger of God.'" Listen to the reaction, though. "But Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said." Now, what was his problem? Was it that he didn't have the ability to do what was right? No, some of our friends would say, well, God just makes some people where they can't do right. No, everyone has the ability to do right. The question is whether or not our heart will be tender enough to listen and to hear. Psalm 119 and verse 161 says, "Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word." The psalmist there communicates the attitude that we ought to have. The attitude that we ought to have not only to those that would entreat us, but also a willingness to listen to the word of God. Psalm 13 and verse 3. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. You know, sometimes we can get to that point in our lives where we're just unwilling to listen. Nobody can tell us anything. We're not willing to hear what the Lord says and how He directs our life. As Christians, that cannot be our attitude. Whether we're talking about interpersonal relationships or especially when we're talking about the Word of God. James chapter 1 and verse 19 teaches the attitude that we as Christians must have. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. A tender heart is also one that obeys. I've made this point before. If we look at the wording that's used in Scripture, the Greek word that's translated obey literally means to hear under. And we should not be surprised that if we are those who will listen to the Word of God, you know, it doesn't mean much if you hear something but you don't follow it. To hear is to obey. Go with me to the book of Exodus. And in Exodus chapter 19, look with me at verses 5 through 6. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 through 6. The Lord instructs the Israelites, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." You know, it always puzzles me in the world around us that we have so many that will say, well, you know, obedience doesn't matter. If you have a relationship with God and Christ, then even if you sin and sin and sin and you don't repent of those things, it's all right. Once you're in Christ, you're always in Christ. This text makes it very clear that those who will be that special treasure, as the Israelites were, and now as we in Christ are a special treasure unto Him, are those that don't just listen and let it go in one ear and out the other, but rather those that hear His voice and obey His voice. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 19, I want us to notice what David inquires about Solomon, what he hopes for his son. Sometimes it would be fulfilled, sometimes it would not. But 1 Chronicles 29 verse 19, "And give my son Solomon a loyal heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes, to do all these things and to build the temple for which I have made provision." Psalm 119 verse 34, "Give me understanding and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart." The fact of the matter is that obedience and a contrite, tender heart are connected. Over in Romans chapter 6, notice the Apostle Paul's words here. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 17, as he describes what those saints in Rome had done. "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet," listen to this, "you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." You know, when we're talking about matters such as the heart, we're not just talking about ooshy-gooshy kinds of things. We are talking about that which moves us to diligent obedience. And I want us to notice that finally, a tender heart is one that will repent. In the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, the Apostle Paul gives a warning to those who would despise the riches of God's goodness and patience. Notice the way that he words it. "Do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds." It is that tender heart that recognizes, "Lord, you've been so patient with me. I have let you down so many times. I can't earn my standing before you, but I will turn away from sin whenever I recognize it in my life. And I will do all that I can to be pleasing to you." The Bible makes it very clear that it is this heart, it is this disposition, It is this attitude upon which God is merciful. Joel chapter 2, our final reading for our lesson this morning. Joel chapter 2, let's look beginning in verse 12. The Lord says, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and He relents from doing harm." Notice the wording there. We read at the beginning that Josiah had this tender heart that was demonstrated by his willingness to tear his garments. Here the Lord says, don't just tear your garments, tear your heart. Now, you know, as all of us recognize that we've done wrong, there are different ways that we may try to deal with that. Sometimes we try to ignore it. We try to treat it as if, well, you know, I've done wrong, but if I don't address it, if I don't talk to anybody about it, I won't ever have to deal with it. That's a foolish way to handle it. Sometimes we may simply run away from any reminders of what the Bible teaches about our accountability before God. I want us to learn from the example of Josiah and the things that we've looked at this morning that it is valuable for us to keep that tender heart that is moved by the recognition that we have done wrong before God. Don't run from that. Don't simply linger in a condition in which you feel bad and you don't do anything about it. The tender heart is the kind of heart that is strong enough to seek to bear the burdens of others. But the tender heart is that kind of heart that will have the courage to do what needs to be done. You know, that might seem like a little bit of a contradiction. We often think of tenderness as weakness. But as it relates to spiritual matters, the tender heart is that which is strong. The tender heart is that which recognizes the true power that rests in Almighty God. I ask you the question this morning, do you have a tender heart? How do you respond to the Word of God? Are you like Josiah? When you look at the Word of God and you realize, that's not what I've done, do you rend your heart? Do you tear your heart and realize, I've got to change? I've got to do what the Lord commands. Or are you stubborn and proud? Will you learn from your sins? Weep over your rebellion against God. Repent of your transgressions and obey the Lord. If you will, would you not this morning put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God? Confess that faith before men. Repent and turn from sin that would separate you from God. Be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, and the Lord will add you to His body. If as a child of God, you have stumbled into sin, and it's gotten hold of you again, you need to obey from the heart. You need to repent and maintain that tender heart. Don't let Satan harden your heart. Don't let sin get a hold of you and keep you. Turn back to the Lord. And if we can help you by going to God in prayer on your behalf, we'd be delighted to do so. Won't you come while we stand and sing?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power?